Today I want to talk to you a little bit about something that has been very personal to me. This message has been on my heart for quite some time. I heard part of this message actually preached when Rebecca and I went to Dallas for a conference. And really, this out of this message that I heard preached came the other sermons we've had about living a better story, how to live a better story, how to find out that our story is really not our story, it's our part in God's story. And all that kind of came out of this because it impacted me pretty profoundly. And I've been praying about this message and how to bring it to you. And so this is the final message of this, if you want to call it a series or string of messages or whatever you call it. I've heard some people call it some other things too. So this one is going to, what I want this message to accomplish for you is how for you to understand how you can have a deep sense that God has called you. A deep sense that God has called you to play a part in His story. And the title of this sermon is the same as part of it that when I heard it preached, the guy called it, he said, "Cancel the audition." So the title of this sermon is "Cancel the Audition." If you'll turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. And I shared a while back, I think right after we got back from there, this verse out of Jeremiah chapter 1 that really impacted me. But Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. This is the call of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the prophet. And I know some of you may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not a prophet. This doesn't apply to me. But I beg to differ with you because we're all called by God. We're all called to different things, but we're all called by God. So this does apply to you. As we read, beginning in verse 4, follow along. Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. And will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth, and he said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, and to overthrow, to build, and to plant." Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. And how your word, although given to a specific person at a specific time and a specific point in history, is specific to each and every one of us here today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it teaches us, even still today, thousands of years later. It's powerful. Your word is alive. Father, and I thank you for this place. And Father, I thank you as we honor our mothers today. And Father, I believe that there may be some ladies here today who feel like they've been trying to audition for their mothers, for their husbands, for their kiddos, for their neighbors. And Father, maybe you want to tell them, cancel the audition and just play the part I've given you. Father, I pray that you would give us a sense of affirmation. Maybe there's someone here, Father, who feels insufficient. I pray that they would find sufficiency in your presence. Father, maybe there's someone here who feel inadequate. And I pray, Father, they would find that Jesus is adequate. He has all we need. And since He is inside every believer, we as believers are made adequate and have everything we need to do everything we're called to do. Father, may Your Word come to us today. Encourage us. Encourage us, Father, not only to love You, but to fulfill our calling so that You would be glorified, You would be honored, and You would be high and lifted up. Father, bless Your Word now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did not come today expecting to hear a word, a specific word to you from God Almighty, why are you here? Why bother? No, really. I mean, that sounds maybe strange, but I'm asking you why you're here. But I'm asking you why you're here. Why am I here this morning? If I don't come to church to open up the Word and glean something very specific that I can apply to my life, something I feel God speaking to me about, why am I even here? Is it just a social event? I pray that it's not. I pray that you're here because you want to get something from God specific to you today. And I pray that that comes from His Word. This morning, I want to ask you to put everything aside. A lot of us have stuff on our minds. My little girl Erin is homesick today. She Rebecca was up with her all night, running fever and just feeling yuck. So my dad stayed home with her this morning. You know, there's other things that are going on. I've got a lot of things on my mind, but I want us all to take all that stuff and just set it aside for a few moments. Clear the radar. Clear the radar so that we can receive something from the Father. How many of you have seen a show called The Voice on TV? Have you seen the show called The Voice? Okay, a few have, a lot of us haven't, and quite honestly, I didn't know anything about it until I heard this guy preach about that, so I went and I checked it out. I've been watching some of it on YouTube, and then they closed the season just last week, and I got to see who ended up winning the contest. But it's a show. It's kind of like American Idol. Are you familiar with American Idol? It's a singing contest, and they have all these singers, and they come up and they perform, and they keep narrowing it down, kind of like Survivor. The last one standing gets the win. And whoever is the finalist wins, they win the competition, and they are the voice or whatever for the year. But it's different from American Idol in this. There are four judges, and on the very first segment when they're trying out to be on The Voice, here's what happens. The four judges are sitting back here in these chairs, these big red chairs, and they're facing that way. Okay? And the singers are back here, they're performing on the stage, and they're facing away from the stage. So they're sitting there, and they come out one by one, and they start to sing their song. And it's like a minute song that they just sing a clip of their song. And these four judges, they have to sit there, and they think, do I want this person on my team? Because they build a team. Because the judges are actually trying to build a team that they can teach and coach, and that they can have the winning team at the end of the season. And whoever the winner is on one of their teams. And so they have to sit there and they decide, okay, do I want this person on my team? And if they like what they hear, they hit a button. There's a button right there, and they hit this button. When they hit that button, their chair turns around, and then they see the person for the first time. Now, this could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing, right? Because these judges, they commit to coach their contestant, to teach them and train them and coach them so that they're trying to get their team, they're trying to pick good ones so they can have their team be the winner. And they have to kind of market this person, right? And you've all seen some of the clips that, you know, they're surprised by what sound comes out of these people because the looks don't match the sound. You know what I'm talking about, right? So they never know what they look like. When they turn around, they might be surprised pleasantly. They might be going, oh, Lord have mercy. You know? How am I going to market this thing? But that's how it starts. They choose them to be on their team. They choose the contestants not by what they see, but by what they hear, by what's inside of them. That's all the criteria they get to pick from. They don't get to look at them until they've chosen them. Now, when they've chosen, and they turn around, they've committed. They've committed to that person, right? There's a story in 1 Samuel. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase a lot of it. Samuel, the prophet, he comes to the house of Jesse. Saul is the king, but he's told Samuel, I've taken my anointing off of Saul. I want you to go anoint the new king. And God led him to the house of Jesse. And Jesse, he told Jesse, he said, bring your sons up. I'm going to look at your sons, and I'm going to anoint one of them as king. And so Jesse was proud. You know, I'm sure he was poked his chest out. He said, my son's going to be king. And he brought his sons out. And I'm sure Jesse and Samuel even thought, too, that this one here, this tall one, there's a king in the making right there. There's something, the tall one, that's good. And he thought, you know, he'll make a great king. But God said this. He said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He said, it's not the one. It went all the way down. And he ran out of sons. He's like, really? Don't you have any other sons at all? He said, well, I got little David. He's the run of the litter. He's out there watching the sheep while I had all my good sons in here. And they said, well, go get him. He brought him in. He didn't look kingly. He was a boy, a shepherd boy. He brought him in, and God said, that's the one. That's the one. So Samuel anointed him. Great story, right? Guess what? Your part, the part that you play when God has called you to play a part, that is not based on what people see. It's based on what's inside. Just like with on that the voice, and just like with David. It's not based on what they see. It's not based on what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And we're going to talk about that. Where did that even come from? In Jeremiah, that verse 5. Listen to what it says. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before he was even born, before you and I are even born, God has set us aside. Maybe you don't feel like you deserve to play a part in God's story. I know oftentimes I feel like I'm not good enough to do this. I have issues in my own life. How am I supposed to pastor? But guess what? You know what God says? It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. It's what I gave you on the inside. Not only does God choose you based on something you can't see, but he chose you based on something you haven't even done. He chose me. It's like I was a contestant. I came out to audition, right? I came out to audition, and I picked up the mic. Before I even hit the first note, God pushed his button, turned his chair around, and said, I choose you. Before I even sang the first note, y'all, guess what? He did the same for you. He said, I choose you. Not based on something you've done, but because I choose you. I appointed you before you were even born, before the foundations of the world. I choose you. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to win approval, don't we? From other people. We try to impress them. We try to please them. We try to, you know, we dress sharp. We clean up. We shave our face sometimes when some people want us to. And we do all kinds of things, and sometimes they're crazy things, but we try to impress people. We want to impress our boss. We want to impress our parents with how we're raising our kids. We want to impress somebody. We want to impress the banker that we've got good credit so he'll give us a loan to go get more stuff that we may or may not need. But we spend a lot of time trying to impress folks, right? And the problem is we take that mentality and we try to apply that same mentality in our relationship to God. We end up trying to impress God a lot, right? We do certain things, or maybe we don't do certain things, or we start something or we stop doing something to try to get God's attention. And it's like we do these things to get His approval, and then we ask, will You turn Your chair around now, God? Will You hit the button and turn around and choose me? Will You pick me? Will You approve of me? Will You accept me now? Here's what God wants you to know today. Listen, here it is. It's the punchline. God wants you to know this. Cancel the audition because you've already got the part. You've already got the part. Not only did He choose me on the basis of something others may or may not be able to see, He chose me on the basis of something that I could never do. I don't understand all of it. I'm just glad He chose me. When I came to Dolan Baptist Church, at the end of this month, it'll be 2 years. Golly, that's fast. Seemed like just yesterday. But when we came to Dolan, I got to tell you, I felt that I had a lot to prove. I felt that I had a lot to prove to you, to others, to myself. I felt that I had a lot to prove as a brand new pastor. Never led a church before. I felt like I needed to come in and prove that I could preach, that I could lead, that I could teach, that I could unite, that I could impress. I felt that I needed to earn the part of pastor. Now, I don't think I'm too different from anyone else, for you that matter, because I think we all find that we feel like we need to impress some people. We feel like we need to earn the part. We feel like we need to do good enough so that we'll be worthy of the task or worthy of the job that we've been given. Maybe you feel that like, if I could just lose 15 pounds, I'd be prettier. I'd be better looking. If I could just do that, if I could earn $10,000 more a year, I would finally feel like I'm the provider for my household. Maybe you think, if I can just get to this next milestone in my marriage, I've been married 4 years, if I can just make it one more year, at least whatever happens after that, at least I can say I gave it a great shot. I gave it 5 solid years. Maybe it's 10 years. Maybe it's 20. Maybe it's 50 years. Maybe somebody's here saying, been married 49 years. If I can just make it to 50 or 60 or 70 or however long it is, if I can just make it to the next milestone, it'll prove that I have done my part and I've made every effort. Maybe you think that if you gave X amount of money to the church, you'd have done your part as a Christian, or we try to impress others, and ultimately we're trying to impress God. We're trying to let God see, God, look what I'm doing here. You see this? God, nobody else, I'm not going to show anybody else how much I wrote. I want them to see that I wrote something, but you know how much it is. Look, see that? Maybe it's service, part of the service we do in the church. Maybe it's teaching Sunday school, leading in VBS, being a behind-the-scenes helper in VBS. We try to impress people, but ultimately we find that we're trying to impress God. We feel that if we could do something, God would turn His chair around. He'd hit that button. If we could just do something good enough in our audition, He'd hit that button and say, yeah, I like what you're doing. I'd pick you now. Now I pick you. We don't understand that He's already looking at us and said, I've already chosen you. Can you understand how liberating it was for me? How freeing it was for me when God told me that before I was ever even formed, before I was the twinkle in my daddy's eye, before I was even a thought, that he appointed me and he anointed me. He looked down into this particular point in time in history or in future, and he looked and said, you know what? There's a lady named Rebecca, and there's this boy named Zachary, and there's this little girl named Aaron, and they need a dad in that family. And I want that dad to be Michael Nix. And there's a church, this little old country church out in the middle of nowhere called Dolan Baptist Church. And they want a pastor, they need a pastor, and I want that pastor to be Michael Nix. Do you have any idea how freeing and liberating that was to me to recognize I had nothing to do with it? I was appointed before the foundations of the world. I don't have to audition. I've already got the part. Now just do it. That's what he said to me. At that conference that we went to, tears rolling down my face, God said, Big Mike, because I was big then, he said, Big Mike, this is why you came. I want you to get this. Get it through your head. Cancel the audition. You've already got the part. Now just play it. Do what I've told you to do. That was liberating for me. He told me something else. He said, listen, anything you don't have, because I always tell myself, well, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. You know, I'm kind of like a lot of people. I don't have this. I can't do that. I don't know how to, but I'm not the best. God told me this. He said, anything that you don't have must be something you don't need to accomplish what I've told you to do. Because if you need it, I'd have given it to you. So quit complaining. Quit belly aching. Just do what I've told you to do. You've already got the part. You don't have to audition anymore. It's over. There's no audition. It never even started. I chose you before the game show even came on the air. Just do your part, he said. Sometimes you may have heard somebody say this phrase, God uses us in spite of our weaknesses. Have you ever heard that? God uses us in spite of our weaknesses. I want to challenge that statement. I think sometimes God uses us because of our weaknesses. Why would he do that, you say? So that it's not about us. Because if I'm good at something and I'm strong at something, where does that leave God in this? I take the credit. I take all the glory. I say, yes, sir, I am good. God knew what he was doing when he made me, because he made me better than, you know, I mean, I'll take that and I'll run with it. But I think God chooses to use us because of our weaknesses so that he will be made strong. He will be lifted up. And we can say, I can tell you, I don't know how that ever got accomplished through me for sure, because I am not good at that. But God is good, and he is strong, and he's powerful, and he's always right on time, and he knows what he's doing. I don't know why he picked me, but he did. I'm just going to do my part. There's another passage I want you to look at that's going to kind of tie this Old Testament passage. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And in verse 26, he says something. Verse 26 and a couple of verses afterwards, but particularly in 26, I want to read. He said, I hear pages turn. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. He says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Think of what you were when you were called. Now, if we take that part of that verse and tie it with the passage out of Jeremiah, what does Jeremiah say we were when we were called? You remember? Jeremiah said we were called before we ever came to be. Right? So what were we when we were called? We weren't born yet. We were nothing. God called you when you were nothing. He spoke into the nothing and said, I choose you. Before you're something, I choose you as nothing. That'll get confusing right there. But here's the deal. He called us when we were nothing, and we think we can do something to get his approval. We think we can do something to get his attention. Listen, he called you, he called me before we ever did anything good. And before we ever did anything bad, he called you. He appointed you. He said, I choose you. Not based on something we do, not based on something that we have done. He just says, I choose you. I love you. I'm making you, and I choose you. Will you play the part that I have for you in my story? You see, God started with what he wanted to do in the world, and then he made something that would fulfill that purpose at that time and at that place. And you know what that something that he made is? That something that he made to accomplish that purpose at that particular time, that something is you. That something is me. He made us, put us in a particular time, a point in time, to accomplish a certain purpose. It's not something that you are or something that you have. Let's look at the rest of that passage in 1 Corinthians. He said, what were you when you called? Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things of this world and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. God said, I wanted someone weak so that I could show off my strength. That's why he chose me. When I had all this list of things that I couldn't do, he said, that's it, that's right. That's why I chose you, because you can't. You're weak. It'll get done, but it won't because of your strength, it'll be because of my strength. He said, I wanted someone insecure so that I can show that I can secure all things, that I'm steadfast, I don't falter. He said, I wanted someone who struggles. I said, well, that's me. That's me. I struggle. He said, good. I knew that. That's why I chose you. I wanted someone who struggles so that I could accomplish victories that only I could accomplish. And you'll see that. You'll be able to tell that. And people will see that and recognize that. That I am God Almighty, not you. You know, Moses. Last Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about Moses. Moses came to the burning bush. You remember? And God said, take your shoes off. Stand on holy ground. He came up. And God spoke to him out of the bush and said, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. You're going to set my people free. That's your part. Moses said, I stutter. I can't talk. I'm no good. I can't. And he had a whole list of things that he couldn't do. So he thought. And God said, you're right, you can't, but I can. He said, I can't talk. I'm not eloquent of speech. God said, don't you think I know that? Who made you? Who gave you that stutter? Who gave you your mouth? I did. And Moses, I did it so that I could show that even a stuttering fool could lead a nation. Not his own strength, but because of me. Didn't do it for you. I'm doing it for me, God said. That he could lead a nation against all odds only because of his faith in God. He said, I know you can't, but I can, God said. Stop trying to tell me what you can't do and do what I've already told you to do, because it's my story. That's what God wants you to tell you today. That's what God told me the other day. He said, quit telling me what you can or can't do, because it's not about you. It's not your story. It's my story. I can do it. You don't have faith that I can do it? God asks you a question like that, you better think about your answer. He says, you don't think I can do it? I was like, well, yes, God, I know you can, but anything, listen, when you say that, yes, God, you can, but anything you say after that, it's not good. Doesn't matter. Because you're saying, you can, but you can't in my case. Because I'm not this, I'm not that. God said, I can. I chose you because of you. I chose you because of the things I've already given you. Because of the things that I have withheld from you. Because of the things I did not give you. That's why I chose you. So that I can be made strong and I can go get the honor because it's my story. I'm jealous. God says, he told us that he's jealous. He said, Lord your God's a jealous God. Don't have anything else before me, including yourselves. Right? God is looking for some weak people today. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I'm not very good at stuff. I'm even struggling to raise my family. Mothers, maybe you're thinking, I don't know why everybody wants to honor me, because if they knew what really goes on, guys, you're probably thinking the same thing too. Father's Day's come up, they're going to talk about how great we are as dads, but they don't know me. Because if they did, they wouldn't say they honor me. But guess what? God chose you. Not based on something that you're doing, not based on something that you've done. He chose you before the foundations of the world. And he's given you a part to play in his story, because it's not your story. And it's not my story. It's God's story. The question is, will we play our part? He's looking for some weak people. He's looking for some people who struggle. Who doesn't have struggles? He's looking for some people who don't always get it right. He's looking for some people who don't always have it all together. And he never called you to be able. He called you to be available. That'll preach right there. He didn't call you to be able. He didn't call you based on something that you have. He called you based on how he wants to use you. And you don't get to pick how God wants to use you. I guess you can pick on whether you let him use you at all or not, but you don't get to pick on how he wants to use you, because it's not your story. It's all about God. He didn't call you to be able. He called you to be available. So my question to you this morning is, have you made yourself available to God? Have you said, God, here I am. Like Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Send me into my household. Send me into my workplace. Send me into my school. Send me into my family. Send me. I'm available. Whatever part you have for me, God, is the part I want to play. I recognize it's not about me. It's about you. Your story is more important than mine. Mine is just a supplement to your story. Mine just helps your story. My story is just a paragraph in your story. But I want my paragraph to be right. I want my paragraph to be true. I want my paragraph to be what you want it to be. Have you made yourself available to God? Maybe that means coming to know him on a first-name basis, coming to know him as a personal Savior. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted him and the gift that he has through Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never come to him and said, Lord, I don't know all the stuff about you. I don't even know everything about myself, but I do know that I'm a sinner, and the Bible even verifies that. It says that all men, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I know that the Bible also says that for those people that are sinners, the punishment is hell. but I don't want to go to hell. I recognize that you've made a way that I don't have to go to hell. You've given Jesus Christ, who made a perfect sacrifice for me. And if I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, you've guaranteed me salvation and forgiveness. And that's the only way that occurred. And so I accept that as true in my life. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, I've been trying out, and I'm still been trying out, and I'm trying to impress, and I'm trying to look good, and I'm trying to really make somebody feel good about me, and that includes God. I'm trying to really show God that I'm worthy. And you don't realize that none of us are worthy. And maybe, like me, when I heard this and God spoke to me, maybe God's saying to you, cancel the audition. I've already chosen you. I've already chosen you. Just do the part I've given you. And maybe today you're going to say, I give it up. I give it up, God. I'm gonna play your part. Not as I see it, but as you see it. And I'm going to submit my life to you. And maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you've just kind of been doing your thing your way. And maybe today you recognize, like I did, and that God says, it's not about you. It's about me. Don't know where you are this morning. Maybe there's other things that are going on in your life. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you in this. Just like what God said to me, I think he says the same to you. Whatever you don't have must be something you don't need to accomplish what I've called you to do. Because if you need it, I'd have given it to you. Let me be strong. Let me be the one in your life who gets the credit. Maybe you just need to come back into a right relationship with God. I don't think that if I asked for hands or to stand up or anything of whoever has it all together, who has everything, their relationship with God just couldn't get any better. It's just top notch. It's as good as it can get. I don't think I'd have any takers because we all need improvement. My question to you is, are you making yourself available? Will you submit to him today? Whatever he's asking you, whatever he's calling you, there's a difference between asking and calling. Whatever God is telling you to do, whatever he's informed you about your part in his story, have you made yourself available to fulfill that? We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. But listen to me. This is not a perfunctory task. This is not something that we're just going to do. This is not something that we're just going to, time to stand and sing a song when nobody will move and then we'll all just walk out and everybody have a great day and go have lunch with mother. That's not what this time is for. This time is for you to respond to the Spirit. If God has been showing you something through this message and he said, yeah, you know, that's true. It's not about you. It's about me. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to clear the mud. You need to listen. Now's the time when you say, yes, I receive that, and I accept that, and I apply that to my life. Now it's up to you. Will you respond to it as we stand and as we sing?